This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. This is Dina Marie of Faith Moments, a weekly podcast where we ponder and proclaim the Sunday Mass readings. Well, welcome to the seventh Sunday in Easter. For many of the churches in the United States, the celebration will be the Ascension of the Lord. However, that is on Thursday, Ascension Thursday. So the readings for today, I'll be taking from the seventh Sunday of Easter. And again, we're getting close to the culmination of our Easter celebration with the coming of Pentecost. And then we move into some beautiful feasts, Corpus Christi and the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So I just encourage you to continue to listen to the readings as I'm encouraging myself. It's been a blessing this year. Think about the transition we've had in the church this year, 2025, again with the election of Pope Leo XIV, and to see the beginnings of the church and to see the first pope, Pope Peter, right? We see the unfolding of the Christian people and the way that they built the church together with a dependence and a guidance in the Holy Spirit. And so today, in 2025, we continue to have that guidance from our Holy Father, now Pope Leo XIV, but also in a goal of unity, being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I like to look at a theme for these readings, and I really, you're going to hear the word glory come up in the readings today. See His glory. So keep that in mind as we hear these readings for the seventh Sunday of Easter. Let's open today with the collect prayer that you'll hear for these readings. Let us pray. Graciously hear our supplications, O Lord, so that we who believe that the Savior of the human race is with you in your glory, may experience, as he promised, until the end of the world, his abiding presence among us, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Justice and judgment are the foundation of his throne. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. The heavens proclaim his justice, and all peoples see his glory. All gods are prostrate before him. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth.
You, O Lord, are the Most High over all the earth, exalted far above all gods. The Lord is King, the Most High over all the earth. A reading from the book of Revelation. I, John, heard a voice saying to me, Behold, I am coming soon. I bring with me the recompense I will give to each according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are they who wash their robes so as to have the right to the tree of life and enter the city through its gates. I, Jesus, sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let the hearer say, Come. Let the one who thirsts come forward, and the one who wants it receive the gift of life-giving water. The one who gives this testimony says, Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lifting up his eyes to heaven, Jesus prayed, saying, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be brought to perfection as one, that the world may know that you sent me and that you love them even as you loved me. Father, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world also does not know you, but I know you, and they know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will make it known, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is the seventh Sunday of the Easter season, and so I'm using the readings of the seventh Sunday. Many of you might be hearing from the readings from the Ascension, but I wanted to use these seventh Sunday readings. And the first reading, again, we go into the Acts of the Apostles and we hear that story, kind of the culmination of the story of Stephen's martyrdom. And again, remember the tying theme, see his glory. And if you go to chapter 7 of the Acts of the Apostles, you hear about Stephen's discourses. And the beginning of this chapter 7, it's really fascinating. There's a few places in the scriptures in Acts and in Hebrews particularly, and even with Peter and with Paul, they do a recounting of like the history of salvation in a few sentences or a few paragraphs. And here is Stephen. He's the first one of the first deacons ordained in the church to help to care for the people, to expand in the ministry in the early church. And he has this vision of the Holy Spirit. And so he is telling the people who do not want to hear him, who want to rebuke the word of God, rebuke Jesus, rebuke this new teaching. And he talks about the history. He goes through from the Chaldeans to Abraham to Joseph and the sons of Joseph's Jacob, who sell, you know, Joseph into slavery. And then, of course, Joseph frees his brothers when there's the famine and continues to go to Moses. So he's unpacking in just short form the truths of God's revelation over time, over hundreds of years through the Israelite people, and also giving examples of when those Israelite people, your ancestors, my ancestors, rebuked God, didn't listen to God, turned to other idols. You know, they continued to really turn to their own vices, their own wickedness. And so Stephen is really showing the people, you two are like this. You are like the ones who made that golden calf. You know, Moses went up to the mountain to be in the cloud. What, to see the glory of God? And the people, they weren't patient. They wanted to have it their own way. So even with the assistance of Aaron, one of the prophets, they turned away and they wanted to have their own gods. They wanted to have God under their own circumstances. And here are Stephen's words of truth. And the people here, it says, they cover their ears and they are rushed upon him. So they're not willing to listen to the truth. They're not willing to recognize the signs of what happened in the past. They're also living out in not obeying the word of God. And it leads them to stone and kill Stephen. And so it's, if you just read that chapter 7 and then this final part, it says in verse 54, when they heard this, which is like the whole summary of the salvation history, they were infuriated. And evil is infuriated when it is exposed to the truth. You know, if you're in a dark room and all of a sudden you see light peeking in a little crack, it breaks the power of darkness. You know, we have darkening curtains. I'm looking at some right now in my room, although they don't work very well because the light really shines through them and shines through those cracks that you just can't cover. So does truth, the little bit of piercing truth, because truth isn't weak. Truth is strong. Truth is a rock. And Stephen stood on the truth of Jesus Christ. And the people rebuked him and the people covered their ears. They didn't want to hear the light of the truth. And so they ground their teeth at Stephen. And you know who was with them that said okay to this, consented to this? Saul. We hear that Saul was part of this execution of Stephen. But Stephen, he was given this beautiful gift of seeing the glory. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He saw the glory of God and he saw Jesus. At this time of great wickedness, you know, think of the wickedness that maybe is in your own life, in your own community, in your own family, the darkness and wickedness that is existent in our world today. And in the midst of that darkness and wickedness is Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen sees this and he is rooted and anchored in truth, in Jesus, and he calls out, do not hold this against them. Similar to Jesus, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen was so intent at being with the glory of God and recognizing the glory of God. He wanted that for those other people. He wanted to proclaim, and he was doing what he could do to preach the truth, and they would have nothing to it. They would just not hear that truth. And so as they're stoning Stephen, Stephen cries out, Lord, receive my spirit. And he fell asleep. You know, a powerful message for us that Stephen stayed focused on the glory of God. He was given the gift of seeing the glory of God. And you and I, in the midst of We go to the church and we see the glory of God in the Eucharist. Heaven is opened up to us at Holy Mass. The angels and the saints are present with us. What's even more awesome in creation is the invisible. The invisible is part of creation. What is visible and invisible, seen and unseen. We don't see the saints. We don't see those souls. We don't see the angels. They are present. God is present. And we see the glory of God, as Stephen did, in the midst of the celebration of the Holy Eucharist. It's a foretaste of what is to come. And then we go to the book of Revelation, and John continues to reveal these visions that he's able to see and hear and experience the glory of God. And now he's seeing this promise of God. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. And I will give to each according to his deeds. Are we following the truth of God? That God is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. There's no pause. There's no start. There's no finish. It's constant. I was recently at the Oregon coast. It's one of my favorite places on the planet to be. I haven't been to many places on the planet, but from where I've traveled, I love the Oregon coast. And if you've been able to experience the ocean, you know, as far as you can see, there is the ocean. You know that somewhere beyond the horizon, there's land, but you can't see it. And the ocean continues to move back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, ebbs and flows. There's no stopping. It's constant. And so is our God. Blessed are they who wash their robes so as to have the right to the tree of life, eternal life, that we live a pure, a virtuous, a charitable life filled with love. Does that mean we're always doing the right thing? Well, we don't always do the right thing, but we're striving to do the right thing. We're coming into greater awareness of how important it is to do the right thing. Because of the right thing's sake, because God designed us to be fully alive in Christ. And when we live out our humanity as male and female, when each creature lives out its creation as that particular creation, whether it's a mallard duck, whether it's a hummingbird, and it lives that out fully, it's shining and revealing the glory of God. And so we hear that Jesus is the bright morning star. He's the one who breaks through the darkness. And so what we can say is, come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, Maranatha, that when we're preparing for the Holy Spirit with this Feast of Pentecost coming up, that we know that the Holy Spirit is what gives us the information, the wisdom, but not just data, the counsel, the encouragement, the promise, the formation of the word. There's the speaker. I think it was Bishop Barron that mentioned this as you look at the Trinity. There's the speaker, the one who speaks, God the Father. Then there's the word that is spoken by the speaker, Jesus, the Son of God. And then there's the interpreter, the one who helps you understand, like the dictionary, like the thesaurus. Well, what does that word really mean? How does this word fit into my life? That's the Holy Spirit. I like to use the closed caption function if I'm watching a movie. I want to be able to read the words, but then it's not just the words. What do they mean in the context of this story? The Holy Spirit gives us that guidance. And so we're praying for that guidance with the Holy Spirit to see the glory of God. We get into the Gospel of John, and this is part of the farewell discourse. These are parts of the prayer and the final words, really, of Jesus that are in the conversation with the apostles before he is arrested. And in fact, following this John 17 and John 18, then Jesus takes his apostles out to the Kidron Valley and he is arrested and his passion begins. And so in this final section that we read here for the seventh Sunday of Easter, Jesus is lifting up his eyes to heaven and he's praying directly to the Father. And one of the things I love about this prayer is it says this. It says, Holy Father, I pray not only for them, so the apostles, right? These men that he's been walking with and talking with and teaching and forming and calling his own. But then he prays for you and he prays for me and he prays for all those throughout all of history who will come to know Jesus through the word of God, through the evangelization and the spreading of the good news that began with the work of the apostles. So he says, but I'm praying for those who will believe in me through their word, through their example. So through the example of the apostles, that Jesus is going to leave us in this way, in order to take on his glory. And his goal is that they may all be one, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus continued in different ways to teach this to the apostles. I'm sure they were still pondering, what does this mean? He and me and I and them. And can't we just see the Father? And, you know, Jesus would say, Philip, Thomas, you've seen me. You've seen the Father. And Jesus prays, and I have given them the glory you gave me. Jesus is giving us the glory in his Holy Spirit, in his prayer, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. There's this purpose of the glory to bring, it says here, perfection, to bring unity. I wish that where I am, they may also be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Always the love has been for the Father, from the Father to the Son. And so there is a prayer of unity, a prayer of oneness. Where in your life do you not have unity? Where in your life do you not have oneness? Where is there discord in your life? Where in your life have you been like those hearers of Stephen, who, when you hear the truth, you push back, you rebuke? I'm not going to change that far. I don't want to go that far into this way of unity in being one with the Father. That means a life of charity, a life of self-sacrifice, a life of love, compassion, forgiveness, mercy. Yeah, I want to be forgiven, but are you willing to forgive? Are you willing to be like Stephen, who's even being willing to suffer and die for the love of Christ? I want to read this little piece from the In Conversation with God, because the point, there's so many, I'm thinking of things in my own life. I see sufferings, I see difficulties, I see hardships, I see darkness, I see disunity in people and in circumstances that are connected to my life and the work that I do. And I want it to be set right. But listen to this. A Christian understands better the great need men have to be helped on their way to Christ. Others are seen as persons in need of God, and that is the way Jesus sees them. Illumined by this gift, and just talking about the gift of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, illumined by this gift, the saints have understood the real meaning of the events of this life, whether small or great. And so they do not consider illness a misfortune, nor do they rail against the sufferings they endure, because they understand that God blesses in different ways, and frequently he blesses with the cross. They know that all things, even those which are inexplicable from the purely human viewpoint, work for the good of those who love God. We see in our dealings with other people a chance to be merciful, doing an effective apostolate and bringing them closer to God. The Holy Spirit teaches us that if we are faithful to his grace, our everyday affairs are the normal way to God. There we serve him in this life and prepare ourselves to contemplate him in heaven for all eternity. The gift of wisdom illumines our intellect and inflames our will so as to discover God in the ordinary things of each day, in sanctifying our work, in the love with which we finish what we have begun, in the effort we need to make to be always ready to serve others. So there's a sense that in the difficulties, in what Stephen was enduring, this persecution, this evil, this wickedness that was just launched on him, he didn't waver his love of Christ. He didn't waver his trust and his confidence in the glory of God. We need to seek his glory. And in the midst of that wickedness, that difficulty, that challenge, we need to permeate it with light, with truth, with mercy, with forgiveness, with love, with generosity. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you have revealed to us that your Son, the Savior of the human race, is seated at your right hand in glory. Grant us confidence that he also remains with us until the end of time, and as he promised, that we may live in unity and peace. We ask this in his name, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.